Before Carl comes up to share with us this morning, I'm just going to read to us from Nehemiah, it's the second half of chapter 1 and a few verses from chapter 2. Starting at verse 5. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, laws, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you sin, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. We are your servants, the people you rescued by your great power and might. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success now as I go to ask the king for a great favor. Put it into his heart and be kind to me. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer. And then picking up from verse 4 of chapter 2. The king said, Well, how can I help you? With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, If it is pleased your majesty, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried.
Thank you, Andy. Imagine this morning that you are a refugee from Syria. But go with me a bit further and imagine that a few years have passed. Your parents managed to get you in to Europe, leaving behind the destruction and devastation of Aleppo, which you can remember. But years have passed and you made it to the UK, you got asylum, you went to school, you did rather well, and you actually went to university, and now you have landed a job as once upon a time a refugee, but now you are working for the civil service. You are on the bottom rung of the civil service, but it just so happens that your role in the civil service is to deliver cabinet papers to the government. And every once in a while, you are asked to go and take a pile of papers into number 10, right into the office of the Prime Minister himself, and you deliver these papers. But of course, all the while, you see pictures from back home on the news of Aleppo, and you see the destruction there, and the city is still lying in tatters and ruins, and it hurts. It's in a terrible state. Something in you longs to be back there to be putting things right. But also imagine with me that you are now a Christian. When your family came over from Syria, you weren't Christian. You were trying to follow another faith. But at school, you saw other people and you started to ask questions. You went to Durham University and met this very nice young person who told you all about Jesus. You then went to Loughborough to do a master's and met another lovely person who told you about Jesus. And you came to Jesus. You came to faith. And since those university days, you have been a Christian, and now as a civil servant going into number 10 every now and again, you go in as a Christian. But you are burdened to pray for your homelands. How would you pray? See, your situation, if you've been able to follow me with this imagination exercise, your situation is not that different to Nehemiah's situation, the guy who wrote the stuff that Andy just read for us. Okay, he wasn't a refugee, but he was in exile. He was taken to a foreign country, to Babylon, and he was serving a foreign king. There were a few people back in his homeland in Israel who were in utter disgrace. The walls, like the buildings of Aleppo we see on our TV screen, the walls of Jerusalem were totally trashed and in pieces and piles of rubble. The temple was burnt down. The situation for God's people, for Nehemiah and his fellow people, was desperate. Turmoil and mess all around. That is the context out of which Nehemiah prays this prayer in chapter 1 that Andy has read. And I find it useful to look at these prayers. I find it helpful to see how these guys and other people prayed and to think, what can I learn from that? We're going to look at a few prayers over the next few weeks, some from the older part of the Bible, some from the newer parts. But one of the first things we see about this chap Nehemiah is that he has a confidence to approach God's. And right from the beginning of his prayer, which we find in verse 5, if you want to look at the passage, we see he calls on God based on who God is. Verse 5, Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God. He starts describing God to himself. The confidence that Nehemiah has is grounded in his knowledge of who God is. If you just remember one thing from this morning, remember that. We can have confidence in God because of our knowledge of who God is. And so he kind of rehearses in his mind. He kind of replays, yeah, who is this God in who I believe in? Who is this God that I'm praying to? And he replays what God has said in the past, what God has done. And it's that forms the basis of eventually asking God for his needs. So we have these questions, and one will come up now. Apologies the way I've chosen colours. Black on that blue doesn't work, so you can't read it. But it's on the news sheet. And look on the front of the news sheet. And a question about our relating to God. What level of confidence do you have to approach God in prayer? Is your confidence level up there with Nehemiah, or is it lower, or what's going on? What is your level of confidence to approach God? That's a good question to ask every now and again, a kind of a spiritual MOT question to check out your own faith. But let's start when we pray by replaying what we know of God, our own experience of Jesus. Because the reality is we never pray in a vacuum. We never pray in an isolated bubble, but always in the context of stuff going on in our lives, yes, but the bigger context of who God is. And of course, God is bigger than even our deepest, messiest situations. And so from that, he moves, verse 6 and 7, to confession. The Israelites, they've got a lot to answer for. They've messed up big time. But see how Nehemiah owns that for himself. He doesn't do what our society loves to do, which is find someone else to pin the blame on. And he doesn't do what our society also likes to do, which is to scapegoat, find a scapegoat. Yeah, they're the ones to blame, and if we get them to blame and resign, then everything else will be fine. No, he owns it for himself. And he says, Lord, we have messed up as your people. We've got it so, so horribly wrong. And he's right there, in it, owning it for himself. We must recognize that on a scale with God at one end, we're down the other end somewhere in the messy zone. And there's mess all around us, and there's mess in our country, but let us own our part in that rather than just firing off blame and scapegoating. But messy as our lives are, God is faithful. And so Nehemiah then rehearses that, verses 8 and 9. You are a God of forgiveness for those that return to you, no matter from how far off, you will restore them. Remember that it's not about us. It's about God. Nehemiah is replaying what he has heard, what he knows about God. And that knowledge includes knowing about God being faithful and forgiving. And that whole prayer then reaches a climax. It gets to its high point in verse 10, where for Nehemiah he recounts the founding story of his people, which is the Exodus story, coming out of Egypt, liberated from slavery. And he kind of rehearses that in this kind of very shorthand form. For God bringing the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, with all the miracles and divine interventions, and God sustaining people on their journey. For us, we would replay what we've just celebrated over Easter. Good Friday and Easter Day. That in shorthand, God came to live on this earth as Jesus Christ. He lived, but he was killed and died, but he rose again. Replaying that to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness. Through Jesus being alive today, he draws people to himself, to know him, to even sit and eat with him, as some of the other Bible imagery gives us, because God is faithful. And then after all that praying, we finally get to verse 11, which is the request in Andy's teaspoon thing, which is, of course, very good, very helpful. You've got three things, and the third thing is the please, the request, so one third. But in Nehemiah's prayer, it's kind of like an appendix on the end. He's prayed all this wonderful stuff, talked about God, and he says, oh, by the way, can I just ask a few things now I think of it? It's kind of almost in the relegation zone. Maybe we need to learn something about our own praying. Maybe we get things out of balance. Start with who God is, rehearse and replay how God is faithful, and that's the context. Oh, yes, God, actually, I need this. Can you help me with that as a short piece on the ends? Last term, we looked at Jesus, the discipler, Jesus gathering people around him to lead them on a growth process, embarking on a road of following him, doing that life on life, like Izzy and Anna have talked about with their friends, life on life in the nitty-gritty in the everyday. But that process that Jesus led them through would surely have involved modeling his spiritual habits, modeling his own relationship with God. Habits that would, when learnt by the disciples, sustain them for the time when Jesus was no longer there physically with them, although, of course, he would be there by spirit. Our bedrock habits needs to be personal prayer. That's why I've asked Wendy to put this graphic back on the news sheet with this tree and the roots of our bedrock habits. And one of those must be our prayer, our time spent calling on God. Without those, that the tree will fall over. It will wither, decay, die. Is there no hope? Go home, pack up. Have those bedrock prayer habits. Now, of course, you can pray in lots of ways, and different people like different styles, and there are as many styles as there are people, probably, and that's perfectly fine, and that's okay. This morning, I'm suggesting that we use a prayer like Nehemiah's as a template, as a model, as an outline framework, as a way to pray. That is one way of doing it, just one style. There's many other ways. When we meet as a leadership team, most often, we didn't do it yesterday, curiously, but most often we will start with one verse or a passage or a thought from Scripture, just as a springboard to start our praying as a leadership. Occasionally, we'll use a passage as a very loose framework, just to kind of guide us through praying from one aspect of the life of a church to another. And then very, very occasionally, we will take one of these prayers and use it as our template. So when we prayed 2 weeks ago, it was Easter Saturday. Easter Saturday is a strange day. Where is God on Easter Saturday? There's Jesus buried in the tomb. And so we used Jonah's prayer. Jonah, when he's down in the belly of a whale in the deep sea, in a dark tomb-like place, we used his prayer as our framework to guide us in our prayers that morning. But that's just one way of doing it. Whatever style you adopt, whatever model is your thing, prayer as habit is not negotiable. You can choose different styles, but you cannot negotiate whether you have prayer as a bedrock habit or not. Well, maybe we get rusty, maybe we get out of practice, maybe things crowd in, maybe we run out of time. Maybe sometimes we just need a few pointers to stimulate. And that's again why we're just going to spend a few weeks looking at these different prayers. Maybe it's a way of stimulating us in our prayer. And so with our question this week, there's a challenge which will come up on the screen. I wonder if Andy could give out one each to people on that side. John, if you could pass these around, please. Thank you. The challenge is for yourself to use Nehemiah's prayer as a model for your own prayer. To think, well, how could I or should I pray about something? Maybe I can use this prayer in Nehemiah chapter 1 as a framework, as a model to help me do that. And you can do that today or take it home, do it in the week. For some of you, we're going to spend a few minutes and make some space in a moment for you to consider that. For some of you, you will want to sit and pray and find a way of just pouring your heart out to God. And I sense that's... Have we got enough? We've run out. Well, for some of you, you'll have to buddy up and find a friend to do it. Sorry about that. There's two more, if people want to put their hands up. There we go. So for some of you, I sense in praying this morning that for some of you, you actually, there's something you want to just pour out to God, and there's almost something like pent up and you can't quite get started. And maybe this framework will help you just do that process. For others of you, you'll want to find a friend or a partner and maybe look at it together or pray for each other. That's fine. Some will just want to sit quietly and think and pray. Now, of course, that's perfectly fine. And just fend people off. If you want to do that, that's fine. It's okay to just sit. Others will want someone to pray with you, and you will want to get prayer. And that's fine. I'll go and sit at the back, and just find me at the back, and I'll find someone to pray with you as some music plays in a few moments. I get a sense that maybe for someone here, it's like a pain down the right-hand side. And I don't know if it's a physical pain or it's a kind of a thing that just is caused by an anxiety or there's some psychological thing with it. But there's something about a pain or an anxiety that's locking you and holding you. If that's you, then come and find me and we will get someone to pray with you. And when we've got about 6-7 minutes of music, when you've done your thing and looked at this, we'll make some space, a little bit of space. If anyone wants to share, that will be an opportunity. Maybe no one wants to share. This is not a test. I'm not going to force people to read out what they've written on their sheets, but if you want to share, that'll be fine, and then there'll be a couple of songs to bring our worship to a close. So as the music plays, take this space to find your own way of praying.